Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, welcome to Redneck and Eyes Radio, all things trucking and then some. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. That's the call-in number. And just got a couple of things to talk about, but I wanted to talk about today, I don't know, get your thoughts. What do you think? I'm going to go on a little rant here about this whole TikTok stuff, because I think that a couple of people I listened to on the internet today, course, you know, we're talking about internet, and I kind of agree with them. They're saying, you know, hey, if you're going to ban TikTok, why not ban Facebook? Why not ban anything else? Because that's all that stuff. And because TikTok's Chinese owned, everybody's freaking out about it. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's six one way, half a dozen the other, if you want to think about anything else. But the other thing is that I thought we were about freedom in this country. And that's the biggest problem I think I have about the whole thing, is that it's so funny to me how politicians go nuts. I mean, especially the Democrats, but now the Republicans are doing it too, because most of all the liberal activity, the far left activity, about like thought-provoking activity that you see, the brainwashing, is all on the liberal side, right? You know, the Russian collusion they thought was going on at Facebook, you know, I mean, they were blaming Republicans for that shit, okay? It's the same thing, all right? If China didn't have their own app, they'd definitely infiltrate Facebook and take it over, right? Just telling you. But anyway, give me your thoughts on that. I just thought that was a cool topic to talk about, because we're talking about freedoms, talking about controls, talking about, you know, the way we're screwed as it is, as a society, because if you want to blame anybody for the corruption of kids' minds, blame parents. That's all I got to say. All right? I know families. I got plenty of people in my family. I got plenty of people out there that have families, and you see that certain kids do good, certain kids don't do that good, certain kids do all right, certain kids do really, really bad, and it's individually based. There's no like, you know, definite solution, but you tend to see that, you know, when you go this direction, the chances of them turning out all right are pretty good. If you go a certain other direction, the chances of them turn really, really bad are, you know, the commonality. So that kind of thing. But I don't know. Explain it to me and let me know, because that's what I'm just saying. Is that's just the things I see, you know, like that. So I just want to say that it's kind of like, you know, it's just the way it is. I don't think that you're going to, you know, if you want to save American kids, if you want to save the kids from being brainwashed into communism or whatever, banning TikTok is not going to stop it. That's it. Okay. If you want to save kids from being smarter, you know, I mean, maybe we should do what China does, which is limit the use of TikTok, you know, where TikTok can run until 11 p.m. at night, then TikTok gets shut off all over the United States. That's what they do in China. But the funny thing is that the reason why they do that is because it's China. It's not the United States of America, where you can be whatever, you can do whatever you want to do. And that's what I'm saying. If you guys follow it all, if you guys want to think the way I think, if you guys want to understand the way I think, is watch Ben Shapiro. He definitely dives into a lot of different things sometimes. Sometimes he's hard to handle because of his just overt opinions about certain things. But the cool part is he's actually explains it to you, and he explains why. And he's very religious. And the cool thing is that he will always take the side of doing what's right and doing what's right about according to his religion. And, you know, when he focuses on teaching kids, taking care of kids, it's really important, the kind of stuff he focuses on. When he talks about relationships and taking care of things, you know, focuses on what he wants to talk about. Same things like that. And what you come down to is that, you know, we got to blame ourselves if you want to look at it. So, you know, to me, I think trucking is screwed from my point of view. Because of all of the, I mean, we definitely all have a certain way of thinking about something. And all of the people that are in charge filtered all of that control to you to say, you know, you're mad at the world and nothing's going to fix it except for, you know, banning shit, you know. I don't know. Sometimes I think more freedoms is you're going to attract better people when you have more freedoms. When you have less freedoms and more restrictions, you're going to chase a lot of the good people away, and that's the problem. You know, especially in trucking. That's the way I see it. Good people just get out of it. And then good people, instead of focusing on, you know, the job, all their folks, you know, the bigger companies, you know, you look at how they run things. They run things the way everybody thinks they run things, which is mean they ban everything, and they bring in people that don't know what they're doing. But guess what? They're still doing the job. The good drivers, the good truckers, the good people that care about the industry and care about trucks and care about being a truck driver and all that. You know, they got smaller companies, and you're never going to get rid of them because they love the job so much. And the problem is that everybody looks down upon them, you know, because we've been taught to look down upon them people because they don't look like everybody else. You know, they look different and they act different, you know, and then we're taught as a society that because that guy acts like that, he obviously thinks a certain way and that's wrong to think that way. They don't even want to talk to the guy and ask him if he thinks that way. Okay. They just assume that he thinks that way. And then when everybody says, you know, like if, just like drug use, if you're okay with drug use, you know, and the world, then obviously that's just something that, you know, nobody cares. Nobody cares to understand drug use. They don't understand that it's an individual thing and they want to ban it all. And then and if you come out and say, maybe we shouldn't be banning everything, they're like, oh, you're crazy. You know, and that's the way we screwed up everything. Because then it's like, okay, fine, I'm out of here. You know, because I'll just tell you this right now. In the city I live in, they have a hard time finding truck drivers, okay? And I would say Corpus Christi is kind of like a hippie town. Like, there's a lot of laid-back people around here because it's a beach, right? It's near the beach. There's a lot of fishing. There's a lot of vacationing, you know, tourism kind of thing. And there's a lot of good people. I even know a couple of bartenders that certain bars they can't work at. The big company bars, the ones that are owned by the corporations and all that, well, they do drug testing. Well, if you work in the service industry like that in bartending and waitressing and all that, there's a lot of drug use because, you know, everybody smokes pot. And of course, that's the thing. Everybody's doing pot, right? That's nobody's really focusing on stopping that. But yet, these companies are like, well, we're responsible, so we're going to make sure. And they're just covering their ass, you know, because that's all they care about is covering their ass. And they won't hire those people. Well, guess what? The best bartenders are at the dive bars, because those are the ones that they won't work. They won't work for those other places. But nobody goes to the dive bars except during the off times or the high times, you know, because that's when tourism is massive and there's just, you know, well, this bar's crowded, let's go to another bar. And sooner or later, those other bars are going to fill up. The little dive bars, you know, nobody hardly ever goes to them during the week or whatever, because guess what? We don't always, not everybody parties all the time around here, you know. But I'm saying is that truck driving in this town, they're having a hard time finding drivers because of that, because of people just smoking marijuana. And guess what? You can't smoke marijuana if you're a truck driver, you know. But there's a lot of good people here. I see them. And guess what? Some of them work as truck drivers. They're just working, you know, under the table. They're driving trucks here locally, and, you know, it's not legal. But guess what? It's got to get done. You know, there's still jobs that got to get filled. And then, you know, or they might stay clean for 6 months, pass a test, drive for 3 months, make a bunch of money, and then go back to doing whatever they're doing. You know, so a lot of these bigger companies that have to follow the law, and of course they claim to be responsible and all that, they, you know, they have a hard time finding drivers. You know, but they still won't pay more, because that's just the way the system is set up, and nobody wants to do anything about it. Nobody wants to change anything about it. And it's just so funny to me, you know. Mono, tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. And just, that's the way things are, you know. But anyway, yeah, we're going to be here. Thanks to the great people over at Load to Ride Transportation. That's ltrtransportation.com. When you think of Denver, Colorado, think of Load to Ride Transportation. They're based out of Denver, Colorado. Great little trucking outfit out there. They got some pretty cool trucks, good equipment, you know, cool logo, cool colors, that kind of thing. So, you know, looking good is what you're thinking about. You know, hey, you don't want to drive for a crappy company. You don't want to drive for a huge major company either, like a huge conglomerate, but you still don't want to look like crap. Check out Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. Give them a call, 720-277-0030. And that's appreciate all their support of Redneck and Eyes. But I know we're going to rock and roll here. So let's do it. Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. We'll see you in a second.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hey, this is Ed with Renick and I's Radio. We're here for a couple more days. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. And continue to follow along. And be the best thing to do is look us up on Facebook, Redneck and I's, or check us out on YouTube, search Redneck and I's, and you'll be able to find our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody subscribing to that. And there'll be some other stuff coming around, and whenever we find out more information, we'll get it out to you. So one of the things I was going to bring up, well, before I get to that, I thank a great sponsor, and that's DPF Regeneration. You check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Those are the guys that sell all of your filtration problems that you might have with your newer style trucks, you know, the DPF filter or the EGR valve. They've got a lot of technology know-how there in the diesel industry. So give them a holler, DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com or 800-634-3010. They got filters, and they got parts, and they got knowledge. So check them out. Appreciate all their support at Redneck and I's. So what I was going to get to was on just like maybe a couple hours ago, an article dropped at freightwaves.com. It says Buttigieg addresses team drivers truck parking at Senate hearing, DOT secretary using social media to boost lackluster turnout for the entry-level truck driver program. And this is a transportation secretary, Pete Buttigieg, told concerned Senate lawmakers on Capitol Hill that his department and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are making a renewed effort to bolster lackluster participation in the FMCSA's pilot program for 18 to 20-year-old drivers. See, it ain't taking off. Why would anybody, you know, you don't go into trucking. Well, trucking is kind of like, I would assume that probably people that are looking into trucking, if they're under the age of 21 like that, 18 to 20, and if they're looking to go into trucking, they're probably already signed up for the military. So most of them all go into the military, but, I mean, now they don't have to go in the military. Now you can become a truck driver. It's basically the same thing, you know. It says the three-year program, which got underway last summer, is intended to accommodate up to 1,000 carriers and 3,000 apprentices. Okay, so I remember now the other thing that's really, really stupid about the whole thing is that there's all a bunch of requirements, like safety requirements. They got to have all the technology attached to the truck and all that, which is silly because Most of the carriers that would take a chance on this and would actually teach good skills to young drivers are the carriers that can't afford trucks that have all that crap in it. It says, however, Cindy Hyde Smith, the Republican out of Mississippi, told Buttigieg during a Senate Appropriations Committee hearing on Thursday that participation in the program is alarming after a hearing from a recent FMCSA briefing that just 21 carriers and four apprentices had so far been approved for the pilot. He says, we would like to see better participation, Buttigieg responded, noting that the latest data shows 22 motor carriers approved and another 22 that have been approved by FMCSA but are working through the approval process. It says, to help bolster the ranks, it says, we're making information available to 1,500 carriers that meet the safety requirements, he said. Said, we also had a video campaign that took place in February that we're using social media and outreach to the 2023 high school graduating class. We are very interested in getting the level of participation that will give us good data to continue in this direction without compromising safety. Well, the other thing too that's a problem is that, you know, your other people over there at the Department of Education and the White House and all that, well, if you're getting out of high school, you deserve to go to college. Everybody deserves to go to college. Why would you want to become a truck driver if you can go to college? Everybody gets in. Everybody gets it's free. That's what they want to do, right? So, says Buttigieg was at the hearing to defend DOT's $150 billion budget request, which provides $76.1 billion for highway and highway safety and the transit formula programs. That amounts to $60 billion to the federal aid highway program in an increase of $1.3 billion compared to 2023 enacted levels for repairing and upgrading highways and bridges. When asked about the lack of truck parking and whether he supported a competitive grant program specifically to expand the capacity, Buttigieg says the issue is one of the first raised when talking to drivers. He says, and it's not just a matter of convenience, it's really a matter of safety, he said. It means as a driver is on their route, then they're getting to the limit of their hours of service. They're faced with either having to stop short of their work limit and lose income if there's even a space nearby or park in an unsafe place. Regarding a dedicated funding program, the House chamber introduced a bill in January that would provide $755 million over the next 4 years, specifically for truck parking expansion. I'd like to see the details on that, because the problem is they're not giving the money to the businesses. The businesses is who needs the money, okay? There's a lot of companies out there would probably expand their current truck parking or upgrade their current truck parking or provide truck parking that they normally wouldn't provide if they had access to that money. But they're giving it to the states and all that, and to make, like, you know, public parking on, like, rest areas. And if anybody heard me talk about it before, Texas takes money that they set aside for truck parking, and instead of building really big rest areas along Interstate 35 or Interstate 45, they build huge rest areas on 287 out in the middle of nowhere between Childress and Amarillo, and nobody uses that parking, you know? Yeah. It says, we welcome a dialogue on dedicated funding, Buttigieg says. In the meantime, we're using the funding we already have for this purpose. That includes infrastructure grants that went toward truck parking expansion in Florida and Tennessee. Buttigieg also said he supported recent legislation introduced in the Senate that would accelerate development of heavy trucks powered by hydrogen fuel cells. When asked about it by Senator Chris Coons, the Democrat out of Delaware, one of the bill's sponsors, it's one of the things for cars to be zero emissions. The story is more complicated for trucks, Buttigieg noted. In addition to the trucking and fuel infrastructure discretionary grant program we just put out, I would certainly be interested in expanding support for this technology. There is no question hydrogen will become more important. And then, of course, they talked about railroads and all that stuff like that. And that's all the article says. That's really disappointing. Come on, freight waves. Holding railroads accountable, says Buttigieg, was asked several times about the Palestine train derailment, his support for a recent Railway Safety Act introduced in the Senate in the wake of the accident, and what the Biden administration is doing to prevent future railroad accidents. Federal Railroad Emissions Administration's budget will put together before the accident does include more money for federal rail inspectors and research and development, Buttigieg said. I don't want to get ahead of the NTSB investigation, which may take a year or more, but I would say, broadly speaking, we need more, not less, rigorous standards for railroad safety. It says, because that may include technologies like wayside detection devices and approaches like the added requirements for high-hazard flammable trains. You know, I would really like to be – if they got any money in the budget, okay, and it's not a lot of money, I'll just say $200,000, okay, or maybe not even that much, but one or two people. If anybody out there listening to my voice and you are a politician and you think that the government – well, I mean, really any organization, okay, any organization out there, FDA, the NTSB, FMCSA, just whoever, right? Whatever organization is out there, take some money in your budget and really just kind of work it around it. You know, you don't need any extra funding. Just go in there and find some money in the budget and hire regular people. Don't hire an expert. Don't hire a college graduate. Hire somebody that works in the industry that you're supposed to be regulating. Okay, FDA, go out there and find you a cook or a waitress and just hire them. And just say, you don't have to be in the decision-making process. You don't have to be anything. We just want you to sit in on these meetings and then express your opinions and tell the world what goes on here. That's what I would apply for that job. Now, you got to say, well, it's a pretty easy job. No, it's a hard job, because what you need to do is you need to be blatantly honest and absorb all the information that you're getting from these meetings. And then you need to report to people your opinion of what's going on in these meetings and what they're talking about in these meetings. Because to me, he says here, I don't want to get ahead of the NTSB's investigation, which may take a year or more. Okay. They're investigating the East Palestine train derailment, right? And it could take up to a year. Why? How? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Why would it take a year for this investigation to be concluded? A week, maybe. I don't know. But it seems to me that the data is already there. And you were there at the site. You know, I just don't get it. I don't get it. You know, with anything, really. FDA, you know, well, you got and see, FDA, they're broad scope of everything else. You know, we're talking about the pandemic and the food and drug. Maybe they should separate that and say it should be separate for food and drug. Food and drug shouldn't be together. Maybe we should talk about that. But, I mean, when you're talking about approving, you know, new drugs, okay, that's a step altogether. Or when there might be a problem with the food and you're investigating that, of course, we all know that it's all on an honor system. You're supposed to be testing your own food and providing your own results, choir. So that kind of thing, yeah. I mean, why does it take so long? And I guarantee I can tell you why. You want to know why? Because they'll spend 6 months trying to, and they'll have rules, see. And what the rail company, does that Norfolk Southern, whatever. See, they go in there and say, you can't consider that, or you can't consider that, or you can't consider that. Okay. Did anybody watch the movie Flight with Denzel Washington? It was a really good movie. And what I really, really was frustrated with was that, you know, of course, the whole thing is about him doing a great thing, but guess what? He was under the influence. And what they did was because of certain things and the rights of the pilot and all that, they had he got he pulled his blood, and of course he was like 10 times illegal, you know, whatever it is, he was drunk, technically. Blood alcohol content, all that stuff, right? Well, the lawyers for the pilots union got all those test results thrown out. So they couldn't use that against him when they finally had the hearing, like 6 months later, whatever it is. And to me, that's just so silly. Okay? I mean, that's why it takes so long. Because you got these lawyers saying, oh, no, you can't use that. You can't use that evidence. Okay, it's evidence to figure out what happened. There shouldn't be any kind of throwing out anything. You know what I mean? So when it comes to figuring out accidents, you know, the first 6 months of this investigation, quote unquote investigation, you know how you do the air quotes on each side of your head. The first 6 months are just going to be the lawyers figuring out what can and cannot be used in figuring out who's to blame, you know, or whatever, you know. I mean, they'll even throw it in as like, you know, the lawyers who made the train are going to be in there, you know. The lawyers who built the rail, for the company who built the rail, whoever that may be, or a different entity, different lawyer, you know. That lawyer knows about the engineers, that lawyer knows about the construction workers or whatever. That kind of crap. It's frustrating over a year. It says we need better enforcement capabilities so that we can make sure railroads are accountable. Right now, a multi-billion-dollar railroad might face just a six-figure fine, even if found responsible for an egregious violation resulting in loss of life. We don't believe that's enough to get their attention. The Senate's legislation would add teeth to the lot, to that enforcement. And, I mean, you know, that's the problem, is when you let these companies write the rules. You know, we got it in the banking industry. You know, it's so funny to me. You look at all the regulations, railroad regulations and banking regulations. I mean, let's be honest, okay? The banking failure could really hurt a lot more people's lives with the function of the money system, right? And then East Palestine, I mean, you know, what happens? What would happen if that train derailed somewhere in Silicon Valley or in the area where it affected a lot of poor people in California? They exist there in California. They exist around that area, you know, whatever. And next thing you know, the bank, just go down the road in East Palestine and point to the number one bank in that area, the bank everybody uses in East Palestine. What if that bank failed? Man, that'd be crazy. That would probably hurt all those people worse than that train derailment would. And all these regulations are so light. You know why? Because they let the corporations write the regulations. They're doing that in trucking right now. Okay. Swift, Schneider, they're all writing their own. They all got a seat at the table, and they're writing their own regulations. The ATA doesn't represent truck driving. It's the American Trucking Carrier Association. You know, there's different organizations, but the ATA doesn't represent truck drivers one bit. Represents the companies, okay? And they're the ones writing the regulations. The FMCSA just lets them do it because you guys obviously know more. And that's what I was getting at, is that, you know, we're screwed out of the way. So yeah, boom. That was one of them. And then another one that I saw was about a trucking company in Florida going down. So we'll figure out what that is about. I'm not real sure. Take a little short break, and I'll mention this little article here in Freight Waves about Florida-based trucking company Flagship Transport abruptly ceases operations. We'll talk about that in just a second. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll see you in a bit. Yeah.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Welcome back, everybody. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I Radio. Appreciate you joining in. One more day after this, one more day, and then all we got is the internet on the Facebook and YouTube. So this phone number won't be going anymore, so we won't have this nightly show. But we'll still be out there, so keep tabs on it. We'll see what's going on. So I talk about Florida-based trucking company Flagship Transport abruptly ceases operations. And then the second headline really gets you. I mean, really piss you off. Some 455 truck drivers without jobs after owners failed to pay them for weeks. It says some 455 truck drivers who hauled freight under the banner of Flagship Transport LLC, a logistics holding company headquartered in Medley, Florida, say they have had no contact with company executives since last week when they received text messages promising their paychecks would be available for pickup at the company's yard on Tuesday, but that didn't happen. Owner-operator Antonio Rivera, 37, of Dillon, Florida, above the drove the AREL trucking ATI of Lakeland, Florida, for nearly 2 years hauling beer, water, and other freight. He delivered his last load on Monday. He said most of the truck drivers took their freight to the yard in Medley on Tuesday. And it says, while others have not received any communication from dispatchers or company executives about what to do if they are still under load, Riviera said, some drivers are still making their way back to the Miami area. As of publication, Roberto C. Fernandez, Flagship Transport's president and director, had not responded to Freightway's request seeking comment on the status of the transportation company. Neither did Mario Abad, who is listed as the director of Flagship Transport. Miami-based attorney David McDonald, who serves as a registered agent of Fernandez's company, said he isn't involved in the day-to-day operations of the company, but admitted he had heard rumors about Flagship's financial health over the past few days. I understand that they're working with creditors and potential investors to get more cash into the business, but I'm not involved in those discussions, McDonald told FreightWaves. There were expectations of investors that would have covered those payments to employees and drivers, but it's unclear what happened. It says, as of publication Wednesday, Flagship Transport and its affiliated companies had not filed for bankruptcy protection. It says, Riviera said there were warning signs that the company was experiencing some financial problems. It says, but the company said that not to worry. It said it was switching banks and drivers and employees would be paid by paper checks instead of receiving direct deposit for the near future. It says that AREL Trucking is the largest fleet operating under Flagship Transport's umbrella with 380 power units and 380 drivers, according to the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. And it says, however, Riviera claims the paper checks the drivers and office employees had been receiving over the past 2 or 3 weeks have bounced. Riviera said he is owed about $5,000 from ATI, but he knows drivers are earn much more, up to $20,000. At first, we trusted them. We thought it was a transitional thing. Switching banks is difficult, and it doesn't happen overnight, Riviera told FreightWaves. Other companies owned by Flagship Transport include AQI Logistics, Trucks of Medley. The company, it has 21 power units and 15 drivers, hauled general freight with machinery. The FMCSA granted its common carrier authorization in February 2019. Medley-based Gables Transport had 60 power units under the same and the same number of drivers. It hauled general freight, fresh produce, and refrigerated, and FMCSA granted that company's contract and common carrier authority in February 2011. It says freight broker GAT Logistics received its broker authority in January 2019, according to FMCSA. Flagship Freight posted on its Facebook page on March 14th that I was looking for owner-operators to do local port work. An owner-operator who responded to Flagship Transport's call for drivers commented that he started working for the company on March 14th, a day after the social media post, because I left a good company to work with Flagship, says the truck driver said. Says, because I'm stuck 1,000 miles from home with no fuel and no hope of getting paid. Riviera said truck drivers received text messages on Saturday notifying them that they could only fuel up at one of the Lowe's truck stops, which is headquartered in Oklahoma City. It's unclear if truckers' fuel cards were still working on Wednesday. So the company, which relies mainly on independent contractors to haul its freight, also has a back office team in Columbia, which provides 24-hour dispatcher and breakdown assistance. Riviera said he spoke to his former dispatcher in Columbia, who said everybody had been kicked out of the office and everything was shut down. No one answered the phone when FreightWaves called the company's U.S. offices on Wednesday. The chat function on the Flagship Transport's website appeared to be down, as well as it did not connect to the agent in response to the question submitted to FreightWaves. Some truck drivers waited outside the company's terminal in Medley on Wednesday for answers from company executives. I think they lied to us to buy more time by telling us our paychecks would be ready on Tuesday, and then they would include back pay for the bounced checks, and then they don't show up. Says, do you have a news tip? Okay, well, then now it's asking a question that, you know, says that bounced checks, that they don't show up to pay us. That's just wrong. What do you say? Chances are they're probably not in the country anymore. If they have a thing based out of Colombia like that, they're probably from Colombia. They probably came in the United States to make a quick buck. They made their money, and then they started losing money, and then they just got the hell out. You can comment on there, freightwaves.com. You can comment on that article and everything. But, I mean, guess what? Yeah, they bought time. Yeah. And you know what? Nothing's ever going to happen to them. You know, these people here, they should be in jail. Okay? They should be in jail. And this should be more serious than, like, assault. Okay? This is pretty much armed robbery. You know, that you actually took people's labor. You stole their labor for free. You know, you didn't compensate them for their labor. That's theft. You know, but nothing's going to happen to them. And nobody cares. You know? So, yeah. And I don't know. To me, a red flag would have came up when you were talking to a dispatcher in Columbia. You know? And I don't know anything about anybody else in the company or anything like that. But, you know, chances are they didn't think nothing of it. You know, oh, we got some people in Columbia that'll help you out, you know, in 24/7. Okay, Columbia. Okay, if you're going to have 24/7 stuff, I mean, no. Okay? I just don't get it. Yep, I don't like it. So, yeah, I'll share this to where is the button to share? I thought it was at the bottom, not the top. No. To Facebook. Oh, I got to log in on that one. So I'll share this article to our Facebook page. Go check it out. It's a pretty interesting read. And you can comment on it, too, when you see that. So yeah. Hey, you guys, let's see where I'm at. I'm looking at what I'm going to close out the... Da, 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 da. It's funny. There you go. Cool deal. So, yeah. So, this is it for the night. Like I said, I'm going to share this article. You can go on our Facebook page and check it out. It's Redneck and I is the name of our Facebook page. And please go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody listening tonight, following along. One more night, tomorrow night. Call in 515-602-9731 at 7 p.m. Eastern time. That's 6 p.m. in Texas. So, appreciate everybody listening along, following along, and being fans of the show and everything. So, stay in touch. And keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road. All right, now. Later.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and I's.